Say good evening to everyone. We'll jump right in. I want to look at Romans chapter 12. We're looking at Romans chapter 12. This will be kind of a continuation for those of you who were here for class this morning. Romans chapter 12. And we're going to just be dealing with that, the idea of being a living sacrifice. I'll read the first verse and then we'll have prayer and we'll get right into the lesson because there's a lot, quite a bit I want to deal with. In Romans chapter 12, the Apostle Paul writes, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." Let us pray. Gracious God, our Father, so grateful for this wonderful day, Lord, that you have blessed us with, Lord, this opportunity we have to come together, Lord, to hear your word, dear Lord. We pray for each and every one of us, Lord, that we would be edified by your word, that we would be encouraged by the fellowship of the saints, Lord God, and we've been strengthened, Lord, to continue in the things of your word. Let us be edified, Lord God, and be glorified in all things. In Jesus' name, amen. Living sacrifice. What does it mean? And it is, for us, the very mission of our lives. Think about it. And I was thinking about this earlier. If you ever go to purchase a car and you have your money and you pay your money and you sign the papers and everything and you pay for the car and you get into the car, generally people test drive it, but this is just an example. You get into the car and you realize doesn't run. Now, Paul says, as far as Christ's concerned, it's reasonable. It's reasonable to give God our lives on a basis not only of his mercy, but everything that he is. He is God. On a basis that he created us in his image and for his very purpose. Not only did he create us, but when we separated ourselves from him through sin, he brought us back to himself. So it is a very reasonable thing to live our lives according to the purpose for which God created them. See, we have been, according to the Apostle Paul, we have been predestined to be conformed into the image of God. Ephesians chapter 2. Starting at verse number 10. "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." The path of our life has already been laid out. So again, it is reasonable that we can walk in these paths. The scripture says whether you go to the right or to the left, you will hear a voice behind you saying, "This is the way, walk in it." Jesus himself said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." So it is reasonable that we consider these things. That we consider our lives to be vessels of God's honor. That we consider our thoughts to be His. The Apostle Paul instructs us to say we take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. These are reasonable things. And again, I talked about how men in their sin are not very reasonable. Like for an example, this big thing about if God is so good, then why does evil exist? Now to me, that's not a reasonable way of thinking. Because that denies the reality that it is sin that causes evil. You can't blame God for the evil that we caused. You can't blame God because Adam sinned when God specifically told him not to. And the same thing, we refuse to listen to God, and yet we want to blame Him for the way things are. Doesn't make sense, not to me. And what really gets me is we have so-called Christians that can't even answer that question. When it's clear, when you read it in the Bible. Genesis chapter 6. Look at verse number 5 in Genesis chapter 6. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the face of the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. That's where evil came from. Evil exists because man refuse to listen to God. And this is the result. This is the consequence. We have evil and deception in our world. In the world that He originally gave us dominion over. When He created man, He said, let them have dominion over the birds of the air and the fish of the sea and all over all the earth. And because man refuse to obey a clear command of God, evil entered the world. But there is a solution. There is good news. Evil is evil. Yes, it is. And it does exist, but it's only temporary. And guess what? We have an eternal God who has already resolved the problem of evil. He says, simply come to me. All you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. You can be delivered from the evil within and without just simply by coming to God, who is the source of all good and all perfect gifts. And is the source of life. You can conquer death. Why? Going to the source of life. He is. That's what people need to know. We don't have to reason with the world on their terms. Just tell them that Jesus is. He's God. And I think that's what people try to do. Try to cater to the world's understanding of things. But the Bible says, lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him. And He will direct your paths. The scripture says, He is the wonderful counselor. He is the great physician. He is the balm in Gilead who heals the sin sick soul. He is God. He is all things to all men, the desire of all nations. He is Lord and King, the King of glory. Back to my point earlier, I would say that God is fully invested in us and He's going to expect a return. Is He not? That's reasonable, right? By the mercies of God, by the goodness of God, by the grace of God, by the fact that He created all things and established all things, by the fact that He holds all things together by that same word. By the word He spoke things into existence, and He's holding all things together by that same word. The word of His power. The word that He has freely given to us. Think about that. This is the Lord's doing and is marvelous in our eyes. So it's more than reasonable to live our lives for God, because we belong to Him. It's more than reasonable to live our life for God, because our lives, He literally laid out our lives in His Word. And He even told us that there are going to be pitfalls and trials and tribulations, but He told us that He's going to walk through with us through the whole way. You can't get any, doesn't get any better than that. Simply doesn't. And it's difficult, and I know when I was in my sins, I was not reasonable. I wasn't thinking rationally. I was afraid of serving God. But again, darkness clouds the mind and the judgment of men. And especially men that want nothing to do with God, they are subject to their own evil and vanity. And they're walking in the way of destruction. But Jesus calls every man, "Look to me and live. Turn to me and be saved. All ye ends of the earth, for I am God, and beside me there is no other." Isaiah 45 and verse 22. So think about our lives. So that living sacrifice, so it is reasonable. And then what Paul does with the rest of the chapter, he lays out what that means and what that looks like. Back to our text in Romans. Verse number 2, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say to you, through the grace given to me, that everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith." So we can't outthink God. And we don't have to try and figure God out. Just simply see His word and do it. He says in Isaiah 55, he says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways. As high as the heaven is above the earth, so are my thoughts higher than yours, and my ways higher than your ways." And I quoted earlier from Proverbs. He says, "Lean not to your own understanding." Jeremiah tells us that the way of man is not within himself. Our minds belong to Him. Our hearts belong to Him. Our thoughts and our ways. So the Word of God is a means by which we can renew our mind and be transformed. The Word of God is a means by which we can walk with Him. Too much of what I see, people trying to walk with God on their own terms, and guess what? They're not walking with God. Proverbs 14 and verse 12 says that the way that seems right unto a man, but the end result is the way of death. And if we stray away from this word, we get off the path. But the faithfulness of God will keep us on that right path as long as our hearts are longing for Him. And as long as we have the Spirit of God, that inner witness, this is why John says those who have that witness, they can't continue in sin. Because their consciences won't let them. God is going to save us and deliver us in spite of us. Because He is faithful. The Bible says when we are faithless, He remains faithful. Why? Because He cannot deny Himself. Living sacrifices. God has dealt each one measure of faith. In our text in verse 4, for as we have many members in one body, but all members do not have the same function. And this is the way that God designed it. So we being many are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. So again, there's two parts to the living sacrifice. Presenting ourselves to God and presenting ourselves to one another. Belonging to God means we belong to one another. Belonging to God, that means that we don't have the option of not praying, not serving, not lifting up, encouraging, edifying, all of these things that the Bible instructs us to do. Edify, encourage, lift up. Build up, pray for, live for. 1 John 3:16. By this we know the love, because He laid down His life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world good and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, in deed and in truth. And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him. So there's that dual part of being a living sacrifice. And actually there's another part that we're going to deal with as well. But giving our lives over to God. Let Him fill us by the power of His word and let Him change our hearts and our desires. And becoming one with Christ, meaning we have the same desires as He does. And His desire is always going to be for His people. His desire and His longing is that men be saved, is that men come to know their Creator, is that men not die, but live. It says, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, Ezekiel 18. He doesn't take pleasure in men that die. He longs to save and sanctify and purify us. And not only that, but bring us into His eternal kingdom. And this is for all men. Yes, He has set His heart on us, but He's not just the propitiation for our sins, according to John, but for the whole world. And maybe men don't know. But it's incumbent upon us to tell them that Christ wants to be with you. This God that created all this, the sun, the moon, the stars, and everything that you see, His delight, He desires the sons of men. I believe that's in Proverbs chapter 8. We won't go there because I wanted to. So let's get back to our text. Romans chapter 12. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use in ministry. He who teaches in teaching. He who exhorts in exhortation. He who gives with liberality. He who leads with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. So again, God gives us gifts and resources. And we are to use those for the benefit of the body. Building up the church. Peter describes it as being living stones. Building up a spiritual house. Building up the body. With our ultimate goal being love. And the third part. I know I said there were two, but there's one more. Verse number 9. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil and cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, giving to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink, for in so doing you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And the three facets of being a living sacrifice. Presenting ourselves to God. Presenting ourselves to one another. And presenting ourselves to the world. Jesus tells us in John 13, this is how the world would know you are my disciples. Your love one for another. And there's something about love. It's very contagious. When you go somewhere and you feel the love, it's almost like you have to share it with anybody who's willing to listen. And not only that, if we are displaying this type of love, the world will take notice. No question about it. And this is the ultimate goal. As we give ourselves to God, as we give ourselves to one another, our love grows and it abounds. to the rest of the world. And we can share the love of God with those who may not know it, may not understand it, may not have it, even those that may be indifferent. But the Bible says love covers a multitude of sins. And this is what the church is all about. In the book of Revelation, you see that being emphasized so much. Loving God. Loving one another. This is the way that we are going to be, we're going to thrive in this world. We are buffeted on every side by the world, the flesh, and the devil throughout the week. And we come here and we receive the love of God. And it gives us and it encourages us to stand strong, to stand in love, to not to do evil for evil, to bless those that persecute us, to love even our enemies. And that's what it's all about. This is what it means to be a living sacrifice. And if we're still struggling to understand, we have the ultimate in Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. Actually, we'll start at verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace, in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint him, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. There was a point when we were all in our sins, and Christ came and rescued us. Christ came and lifted us up out of the pit. Christ came and delivered us from death, from certain death. Paul tells us the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Look at his life, who came only to do the will of the Father. Now this is the King of glory. He owns everything. He established everything in all of eternity. And yet he subjected himself to every facet of the human experience, that he might live the life that we couldn't live, that he might die the death that we deserve. And we always talked about what he had to experience in those hours during his crucifixion, being beaten beyond even the ability to recognize, bruised and battered, crown of thorns pressed in his skull, nails driven into his hands and feet, suffocating, suffering for hours. And on that cross, He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. This is the love of God. And if we look to that love, we can conquer anything that comes against us. And this is the life of a living sacrifice. And we understand the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, and it is able to discern the thoughts and intents of the hearts. So while we're reading the Bible is reading us. And it helps us to understand and to see the error of our ways. And then every time we make the invitation, we give people an opportunity to maybe make some changes, maybe make some adjustments. Maybe get prayer and get surrounded by those that would help you and encourage you and pray for you and walk you through your struggles. This is the opportunity that we have right now. Or if there is any other need at this time, we can stand, sing the song of invitation. Someday.